As you're turning in your Bibles to the Old Testament book of 1 Samuel, 1 Samuel chapter 16, 1 Samuel chapter 16, I want you in your mind's eye to picture that mountain that you are currently facing, that insurmountable situation, that thing that stays on your mind, the thing that has you praying at night and in the morning, that mountain, for some, that stronghold. And as you look at it, that thing that you tried to move, couldn't move. A financial situation, a relationship matter, a health challenge, whatever that thing is, as you look at it, make sure you turn around and look back at every mountain, every challenge, every day that you didn't think you were going to make it. Look back and see what the Lord has done. And if he could deliver you from that, he can and he will deliver you from this. Because he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Speak to that mountain. Tell that mountain you've got to go in the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you, we thank you, we thank you that we get to encounter you today. We get to spend time with you as a community. We thank you that you meet us when we're by ourselves, and we can spend time with you and bless you and worship you and honor you and pray to you and praise you and hear a word from you when we read our Bibles. And we also thank you when the church gets together, when the family of God comes together and you fill the temple with your presence. Because in your presence, we find the joy that we need, the joy to give us strength. In your presence, we find the love and the hope that we need. In your presence, we find the wisdom and the encouragement and the direction that we need. In your presence, we find the healing to our souls, our minds, our bodies that we need, because there is none like you. Thank you that you're looking for people to worship you in spirit and in truth. And we thank you in your omniscience. You stopped by here this morning to share your glory with us, to encourage us as we go through these challenging days. Your son told us that in this life we will have tribulation, but we can be of good cheer because Christ has overcome the world. So we come to you, God, saying thank you that you have it all in control. Thank you, Lord God, that you are holding not only this world together, but you're holding us together as well. Lord, we believe, and where we lack faith, help our unbelief. We trust you. There is no one else we can turn to, look to, or depend on but you. So bless us now with your word as the seed goes forth. May it hit hearts that are ready to receive a word and to apply the word. Oh God, have your way. Bless those who are watching in the virtual village. Thank you again that your presence knows no boundaries and no limits. We honor you and we thank you in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. My God. Boy, they sounded so good, and we didn't even notice y'all didn't have a drummer up here. Y'all bad. Y'all are all right. My God. My God. The Levites, man, thank God for them. And as we're going to see today, it's good to not only have the gift, but to be skilled in it, to practice, to work it, to train. Amen. If you're visiting with us, we are in a series called Whatever Happened to the Anointing. Whatever Happened to the Anointing. And we know that the anointing is the Holy Spirit. Because too often as Christians, we get up and live like practical atheists. We live as if there is no God and that God hasn't given us help through the person of the Holy Spirit. We just get up and go on our way and don't even ask God, Lord, would you direct my steps? Lord God, would you help me? Would you open up doors that no man can shut? Would you shut doors that no man can open? I know that my steps are ordered by you. So even when I come across a trial or a test today, I can count it all joy because I know you're going to use it to make me look more like Christ, look for Christ, and look to Christ. And so, but a lot of us just get up and go. Whatever happened to the anointing, whatever happened to the Spirit. And so we've been talking about the anointing of the Spirit. We've talked about the procedure of the anointing. We've talked about the person of the anointing, which is Jesus Christ. Last week, we talked about the people of the anointing. And today, we're talking about the purpose of the anointing. In weeks to come, we're going to talk about the pain of the anointing and the peace of the anointing and the preservation of the anointing. But today, the purpose of the anointing. People throughout the ages have explored these two questions of life. Who am I and why am I here? Throughout the ages, whether you were a Greek philosopher or you were a Hebrew prophet or you're just an American citizen who's living in the nasty here and now, you're asking the question, who am I and why am I here? Well, for those of us who know the Lord as our Savior, the answers to both of these questions are found in God. Who am I? That is an identity question. Why am I here? That is a purpose question. And so when we know who we are in God, the identity piece is handled. And when we know who we are in God, we now know why we are here. We are here to bring honor and glory to God. And purpose comes that we didn't create ourselves. He created us. He created us for Him. And so when we understand our purpose, we gain meaning and significance. But what I'm sad about is that as a pastor who spends a lot of time with Christians, there are Christians who walk around just as aimless and as hopeless as people who don't know the Lord. There are Christians who are wondering what their purpose, what their meaning, what their significance in life is. And I'm here to let you know that the thief who has come to kill, steal, and destroy has robbed you, has robbed many of you of what your significance, your meaning, your purpose is. He wants to keep you ignorant because once you know who you are, whose you are, and why you are, you become dangerous to the gates of hell. You become someone who is a difference maker in the kingdom of God because you're living with purpose as opposed to living without a purpose. So Christians, my goodness, God has a purpose for you. Because when he created you on purpose and with purpose. And when God saved you on purpose and with purpose. Ephesians chapter 10, verses 8 through 10, one of Elder Sherman's favorite portions of scripture reads, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." So your purpose comes from God. And it's not something that God makes up on the move. It's something that God has determined in eternity past beforehand what you are to be about for him. The kind of purpose you are to have in this earth until he takes you home. You see, when operating in your purpose, a few things are going to happen, Strong Tower. When you're walking in your purpose, some things are going to happen. Number one, God is going to be glorified. People are going to see you just like the young lady today and give glory to God because you're walking in your purpose. You're walking in obedience, not perfection because none of us are, but we are walking in obedience to God. And people are going to glorify God because of you. Not only will God be glorified, but other folks around you will be edified. They will be built up as you operate in your spiritual gifts, as you use your talents to bring him glory. It's going to bless other people. And not only will God be glorified and others will be edified, my brothers and sisters, you will be satisfied. You will be satisfied knowing that you have hooked into the reason for why you're here and how you're glorifying God and edifying others. You will leave satisfied and at peace. So, brothers and sisters, do you know your why? Do you know your purpose? Well, here's the main point. A life of purpose comes from God calling you, empowering you, and promoting you. A life of purpose comes from God calling you, empowering you, and promoting you. And we're going to see these principles displayed in the life of King David. These principles. Now, this is not a formula that I'm about to share. Because a lot of times Christians want formulas. We want 1, 2, 3s, ABCs. If you do this, this will happen. It's not as simplistic as that in terms of the will of God. There are principles to obtain. So I'm really praying for that person who is asking God, Lord, what is my purpose? Will you reveal my purpose for why I am here? And then there are others who know your purpose, but you've strayed from it. You haven't been content in what God has called you to do. And so now the question is not reveal my purpose, but Lord, would you renew my purpose? Would I get back on track with what you've called me to do? Because everything else I try to do doesn't satisfy. It brings emptiness. And so God, help me with my purpose today. So the first point today is a life of purpose comes from God calling you. That's where it comes from. It begins with a God who calls you. God will call you to be something before you actually become it. God will call you to be something before you actually become it. He will call you to do something before you actually do it. 1 Samuel chapter 13, verse 14 says this. This is Samuel speaking, and he's talking to Saul, the first king of Israel. After his disobedience, he said to Saul, "The Lord has sought for himself a man after his own heart, and the Lord has commanded him to be a commander over his people." And so Saul was the first king. But because of his disobedience, God says, "I'm going to take the kingdom away from you and give it to someone else. I'm going to give it to someone who has a heart after me, and they're not going to walk around here heartless or with a heart for themselves, making themselves an idol. No, I'm going to give the kingdom to someone who has right motives and a good heart." And so Samuel tells Saul that God has already sought for himself a man after his own heart. So what we see here is we see David's purpose, everybody, because God says, "This man that I have sought after, I have commanded him to be commander over my people." So David's purpose is that God has called him to be the commander or the king over the people of Israel. So we see David's purpose right there. Now, that's kind of like the overarching purpose of David, but there are other aspects of his purpose. Not only will he be a king, a commander, that was God's calling on his life for Israel, but he would also be a leader. He would be a husband. He would be a father. He would be a friend. He would be a warrior. He would be a worshiper. He would be a musician. He would be a psalm writer. He's many things. But if you try to boil it down to what his purpose was, he was to be the king or the commander. And so as we're talking today, yes, there may be a simplistic call on your life. You know how Jesus summarized the whole law in love. You know, there may be a simplistic call on your life, but at the same time, it's not that simplistic. Sometimes the purpose of God is fluid in our lives, and where we may have started with this, he may lead you to that. But at the root of it might be this thing that the way he's wired you and the experiences that he's put in you, that although it may change where you go, at the root of it is a leader. At the root of it is a servant. At the root of it is someone who wants to help people, but it may look differently as you grow and as you go. So for David, his purpose to be a commander, we also see how God talks, y'all. Because in verse 14 of chapter 13, Samuel said, "The Lord has sought for himself a man after his own heart, and the Lord has commanded him to be commander over his people." You see God talking in the present tense, in the past tense, and in the future tense all at once. Oh, it went over your head. I got to slow down and go back and do it again. God is saying, I have sought. That's past tense. I have commanded him. And then God says, to be. That's present tense, future tense. That's how God operates. God spoke like David's purpose already happened before it actually did. David is in the field minding his own business, and God is already saying, I found somebody because I sought him. I'm not seeking him. I'm not gonna seek him. I already sought him. I already found him. David out there with sheep, and God says, I have commanded him to be the commander of my people, because God speaks about the future like it's in the past before it happens in the present. That's our God. Isaiah 46:10 says that he declares the end from the beginning. So before you begin, he's already determined the ending. That's our God. That's his power. And so David had nothing to do with the call that God placed on his life. You have nothing to do with the call that God has placed on your life. And God determined it beforehand, before you were born, before you came into time and space. He had and has a plan and a purpose on your life. And here's what I love. David is out there doing what he does. Listen to this, y'all. As a teenager, taking care of sheep. He's out there protecting them from lions and bears. Oh, my. And as a teenager, God says, I've got a purpose for him to grow and become the king of Israel. Oh, my. It's going to get better, y'all, but hang in there. But God is going to interrupt this young man's life with his purpose. And God will interrupt your life because you're doing life your way. You're just going around, meandering along, going along to get along. And then, boom, God will interrupt your life with his purpose for your life. Now, some of us get like Jonah and run when God starts telling, this is what I want you to do for me. This is how I want you to glorify me. And we're like, no, that didn't fit in my plans. That's not what I want. And I surely don't want that now. And you get to running. But watch out now, because when Jonah started running, God sent a whalegram to go get that brother and bring him back. Don't let God have to send no whalegram after you now. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2 says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. It's like Jesus is a writer of each one of our lives. He's written a story on us. Not only is he the author of it, he's the finisher of it. It's for him we live and move and have our being. For me to live is Christ. For me to die is gain. Man, Christ will be magnified in my body, whether by death or by life. It's all about Jesus, period. It's not about you. It's not about me. It's about God getting all the glory through our broken, wretched lives. That if he can use me, he can use anybody. Broken crayons still color. Man, he's not calling me because I'm qualified, but he's qualifying me because he called me. Oh, my purpose comes from God. But not only is he the author, Psalm 139, 16 says, all the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. He wrote a book on you. He wrote a book on you. He wrote a book on me. And he wrote it in eternity past before you were born right here in time and space. That's why your steps are ordered by the Lord. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Jeremiah 1:5, God told the prophet, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you or set you apart. I ordain you a prophet to the nations. Before he was born, God had a plan for his life. And he was a young man. And he said to God, now, Lord, now I'm just a young guy, God. And God said to him, don't you tell me that you're young. Because what you're doing is you're questioning my knowledge for when I called you and why I called you. And you're acting like I don't know what I'm doing when I called you. Don't say I'm young. Don't give me no excuses. Just submit. Thank God. Even Moses struggled. He was like, God, you want me to go tell Pharaoh what? You do know I have a speech impediment and I stutter, don't you? Yeah, I know that. And that's why I'm going to get even greater glory when you go in there and tell him, let my people go. Because if I can speak through a donkey, boy, I can speak through you. Get up and go. So even when you doubt yourself, God's calling is not nullified because of your inability, your lack of faith. No, come on now, Lord, let's go. Let's go. Time is short. Matthew 4:19, Jesus said to them, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. They didn't know exactly what that meant when they started following him, but he's speaking destiny and purpose on their lives. And he's using something that they do every day. Y'all fish for fish? I tell you what, you follow me, you're going to fish for men. So all of your talents, all of your experiences, all of your abilities, God says, I can use that for my kingdom. I can use that, not just about you making money, but I can use that to touch people's lives. Follow me. God will call you to do something even when others overlook you and say you can't do it. That's how you know it's from God. Because John Perkins said that God will never call you to do anything you can do in your own strength. Because if you could do it, you wouldn't need God. But he calls you to do things that are over your head so that you have to rely on God to get it done. So that when it's done, you know who gets all of the glory. So look at 1 Samuel chapter 16, beginning at verse 1. Are you with me? I'm reading from the New King James Version. It says, now the Lord said to Samuel, how long will you mourn for Saul, seeing I have rejected him from reigning over Israel? Fill your horn with oil and go. I am sending you to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I have provided myself a king among his sons. Stop right there. It's time to shift. It's time to move. I need you to get up, my prophet, because you are the one who anoints people. You anoint kings. You authorize them. I need you to get up and go to Bethlehem. So what God does when we're trying to discern the will of God, he gives him the direction to go, but God doesn't give him all of the details. And then he says, as you go, I'm going to reveal more and more to you because God's revelation is progressive. A lot of us want God to tell us everything he's going to do up front. That ain't how God always works. He'll give you enough light to get going, because why should he give you more light if you're not going to be obedient to the light he already gave you? So get up and go. And a lot of us are sitting here saying, Lord, what's your specific will for my life? But you haven't been living the general will of God. When you live the known will of God, loving him, loving people, when you live the known will, his unknown will, the specificity, the purpose will find you. So stop asking for the purpose and say, am I walking with him? Am I talking to him? Am I loving folk? Am I being obedient? Then boom, because God loves to steer moving Christians. You can't steer no parked car. As a matter of fact, the steering wheel will lock up on you. And we got a lot of Christians who park, ain't going nowhere, might be in reverse and talking about God ain't leading me nowhere. Got to be moving for God to move on you and lead you. Be obedient to what you know. And so Samuel is going, verse 2. And Samuel said, how can I go? If Saul hears it, he will kill me. Why would Saul kill Samuel? Because Samuel told Saul, God has found another king. And Saul knows that Samuel is going to have to anoint that king at some point. And so if Samuel is going to Bethlehem to anoint a king, Saul, because he's so nasty and evil, may try to kill Samuel before he gets there. So you got to watch out for these crooked, wicked, narcissistic people in leadership. But God is still in control. Let me keep rolling. But the Lord said, take a heifer with you and say, I have come to sacrifice to the Lord. Then invite Jesse to the sacrifice. And I will show you what you shall do. And you shall anoint for me the one I named to you. Now, why didn't God give him the name right there? Again, he's walking by faith, just like all of us. He's not going to tell him everything. And Jesse got 8 boys. It would be easy if God just said it's David, but now he wants to teach the prophet something too. Verse 4, so Samuel did what the Lord said. He did what the Lord said. Will you do what the Lord said? And went to Bethlehem, and the elders of the town trembled at his coming and said, do you come peaceably? Because Samuel was a bad boy. And he said, peaceably, I have come to sacrifice to the Lord. Sanctify yourselves and come with me to the sacrifice. Then he consecrated Jesse and his sons and invited carried them to the sacrifice. So it was when they came that he looked at Eliab and said, "Surely the Lord's anointing is before him." But the Lord said to Samuel, "Do not look at his appearance or at his physical stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord does not see as man sees. For man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart." This ain't in the sermon, but can I pivot for a second? Can I give you something free that you didn't pay for? Just because she looked good don't mean that she's the one. Just because he looked good don't mean that he's the one. Because God doesn't look at what folks look at. God is looking at the heart. But if you don't take time to get to know his or her heart and just go off of his or her looks, you might be in some trouble. You better pump your brakes, slow it down, and get to know that person's heart. Because everybody go to church when they want to date a church girl. Everybody goes to church when they want to date a church boy. But as soon as you get him, as soon as she get you, then they don't want to talk about Jesus, don't want to talk about church, and you all up in something now because all you said was, "He looked it good, she looked it good." But God doesn't look at what man looks at. He looks at the heart. Samuel thought, "This boy looked good. He must be the king." God said, nah. Verse 8, so Jesse called Abinadab and made him pass before Samuel. And he said, "Neither has the Lord chosen this one." Then Jesse made Shammah pass by. And he said, "Neither has the Lord chosen this one." Thus, verse 10, Jesse made 7 of his sons pass before Samuel. And Samuel said to Jesse, "The Lord has not chosen these." Verse 11, and Samuel said to Jesse, "Are all the young men here?" Then he said, "There remains yet the youngest, and there he is keeping the sheep." It's tough when your own father doesn't believe that you are king material. That's tough. And some of us have parents that did not believe in us. We've had school teachers that overlooked us and did not believe in our potential. And so Jesse said, "I know I got 8 boys, and I'm going to bring 7 of them here to stand before Jesse." And those 7 got consecrated. But the one out working in the fields was not consecrated, but he was chosen by God. And then Samuel said to Jesse, "Send and bring him, for we will not sit down till he comes here." Verse 12, so he sent and brought him in. Now he was ruddy. That means he had a reddish complexion with bright eyes and good looking. Man, was that talking about me? And the Lord said, "Arise, anoint him, for this is the one." The one who was overlooked, the one who was last. God says, "I'm going to make first." Anybody ever overlooked you before? Anybody ever told you you can't do it? Anybody ever tell you that your dreams are impossible? Anybody ever shoot down what you feel God has put in your heart? Well, just know you are not by yourself. But if God be for you, who can be against you? Expect them to come against you. Now, I've got 2 illustrations about Michael Jackson in this sermon. So please don't think that I don't read books, and I like other artists besides Michael. I may have talked about Michael last week too, and I'm talking about Michael today. I got 2 illustrations. Because years ago, Strong Tower, years ago, I had a man get so upset with me that he left our church because I didn't talk about Michael Jackson. He left the church. Michael Jackson, I believe he died on a Saturday. We were coming from Orlando. I was walking through the Nashville airport, and I saw the news that Michael had died. And so we're walking through, and then the next day is Sunday. And so I preach my sermon, and I don't mention anything about Michael. And so I find out later that when he disappeared, stopped coming to Strong Tower. I stopped being his pastor because I didn't mention that Michael had died on Saturday. So I'm here to make up for that, and I'm going to send this sermon to this dude, and maybe he'll come back. But y'all do know Michael was overlooked when he was young. You do know that Crazy Joe was assembling a group because Tito broke the guitar string. He came home mad from the foundry, saw his guitar had been touched by the boys. He told him, "Don't touch it." And then he said, "Who touched it?" Tito said, "I touched it." And then he said, "I want you to play something for me to prove that you know how to play this guitar." And Tito played, and Marlon and Jackie and Jermaine started singing. So when Joe heard that, he said, "I got a group right here." And so he said that Jermaine was going to be the lead singer of the group. But there was Catherine in the house as well. And one day Catherine was just doing housework and Michael was in there making his bed. He was a young fella making his bed. And she heard him singing while he was making the bed. And she said, oh, he can sing for real. So she goes and tells Joe, you need to add young Mike to the group. I know you overlooked him, but you need to add him to the group because he can show enough sing. Joe wasn't a believer at first until he heard Michael sing. He said, you're not only in the group, move over Jermaine. This going to be the lead singer of the group. And Jermaine, we're going to be talking about this a little bit later, about when you get anointed, there's pain that comes with anointing, because with anointing comes jealousy from other people that you're anointed. And David got anointed, as we're about to read, in the presence of his brothers. And sometimes when God exalts the youngest or one of the siblings, if the siblings' hearts aren't right with God, they'll be jealous, because Jermaine was jealous of Michael all them years. Still got another Michael illustration coming, but let's go to second point. A life of purpose comes from God empowering you. Look at verse 13 of chapter 16. Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brothers. So when you read on later and you watch how his brothers, especially the older one, talked to David, there was some jealousy there. And the Bible says, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. So notice how the physical anointing with oil was accompanied with the spiritual anointing of the Holy Spirit. And when the Spirit came upon David, he didn't just come upon David so David could shout and dance. But no, he came upon David, giving David power. God will empower you to do things you could never do in your own strength. Well, here's the power of David's anointing, because we're about to read at the end of this chapter where Saul, who's now lost the Holy Spirit, has been tormented by a distressing spirit. And so he is struggling. And his men said, why don't we go find somebody who can play the harp and lift this spirit of oppression off of you? And David was called out for that. And he went and played the harp. And the power of the Holy Spirit on David was greater than the evil spirit that was on Saul. So that spirit would leave because the Holy Spirit was on David. But then in chapter 17 of 1 Samuel, David went out to fight Goliath of Gath, who was 9 feet 9 inches tall. When no one else wanted to go fight him, David went out there and fought him. And the Bible says it was because of the zeal of the Lord, speaking of the Holy Spirit of God emboldening him, empowering him to do something that had never been done before. God empowered David to take authority over spiritual wickedness. And that's the power of the Holy Spirit. So anybody, when we talk about God giving us power, anybody can do what you do. But with God's anointing, nobody can do it the way that God empowered you to do it. Remember how Saul said, here, take my armor. Nah, man, I roll with slings and rocks, man. You keep that armor. Matter of fact, look like it's brand new, never been used, because you ain't doing no fighting. I'm not fooling around with that. So nobody can do what you do the way you do it, even though there are other people who do what you do. What do you mean, Pastor? You may be an electrician, and there are other electricians around here. And there may be electricians that have bigger contracts than you, make more money than you, but can't nobody do electricity the way God anointed and empowered you to do electricity. So there's a uniqueness in the call of God. Other people may do what you do, but they can't do it the way God called you to do it, and you can't do it the way somebody else was called and anointed to do it. So don't compare, don't covet, do what God's called you to do. And so the question is, what are you anointed and empowered by God to do? He's given you power. What are you anointed and empowered by him to do? Are you called to be a mentor, a teacher, a doctor, a first responder, a businesswoman, a businessman, a writer, a politician, a firefighter, a pilot, a singer, a reporter, a producer? You're into media, you're into finances. You may be someone who is a police officer, a mortician, What is it that God has called you to do? Are you a painter? Are you in construction? Are you a lawyer? Are you an architect? Are you a coach? Are you in retail? Are you in sales? Are you custodial? Are you military? Are you in ministry? Are you a missionary? Are you an instructor? Are you a decorator? Are you a farmer? It goes on and on and on. God is going to balance his ecosystem. Everybody's not going to be a preacher. Everybody's not going to be a teacher. Everybody's not going to be a doctor. God has space and place for everybody to do what he's called you to do, and he gives you power. My God-given purpose is to be a communicator. That's my purpose. Now, I'm a lot of things, but communication, and he gave me the gift of prophecy, and so with that, man, I'm able to communicate wherever I am. I could talk to children, I could talk to adults, I could talk to people on street corners, I could talk to kids in classrooms, I could talk to people in church, I can talk anywhere because God has anointed me to be a communicator. But specifically, I'm anointed and empowered by God to serve as the senior pastor of Strong Tower Bible Church. Yeah. I'm a communicator. I started off rapping. Then I started preaching. You know, the rapping set me up to preach. And so I'm a communicator. And even when I write sometimes, I'm a communicator. But I am right now for this season, for the past 30 years, I've been empowered to be the communicator here at Strong Tower Bible Church. And I remind myself often, listen to this, y'all, that I am anointed by God to do this. That's not arrogance. It's confidence. Because faithful is he who calls, who will also do it. So when I'm walking in my purpose, there is confidence. Yes, I'm a communicator, but he says, you're going to communicate at Strong Tower Bible Church about me. So when ministry gets difficult and I'm ready to quit, the Holy Spirit whispers and says, you are anointed for this. When people come and go, I remind myself, I am anointed for this. When people talk about me, yeah, they talk about your pastor. When they call me names and they reject me, God reminds me, boy, you are anointed for this. When the money gets low because people may not want to give and serve, God tells me, don't you look at the bank statement. Look to me. I have anointed you for this. When facing these mountains that are in front of me, God says, boy, I anointed you for this. When the enemy attacks me, my family, my staff, and our church, God says, I've anointed you for this. And when I stumble and fall, God says, I still have anointed you for this. Because it's not by might, it's not by power, but it's by my spirit, says the Lord. And I know that there are better pastors out there than me. But one thing I know, I am anointed by God to do this. I may not be anointed to do that, but I know that I'm anointed to do this. And you need to have that same confidence as well. Michael Jackson, second illustration, came out with the Jam video. Go to it, go to it, Jam. It ain't too much. It ain't go do. You never understand what Michael's talking about. Teddy Riley produced the track. It was hot. And the concept video was, let's bring together two famous MJs. Michael Jackson and Michael Jordan. Because it's about Jam and Michael Jam and Space Jam. And so in the video, Michael Jordan is trying to teach Michael Jackson how to play basketball. Now, Michael can move on a dance floor, but the boy look horrible with a basketball in his hand. And then Michael Jackson is trying to teach Michael Jordan how to dance. And there's pictures of him trying to show Michael how to moonwalk, and he's grabbing Michael Jordan's feet and trying to teach. Michael cannot moonwalk, but he can go baseline on you in a second. And so here's the deal. Two MJs, but they are anointed completely different. They can't do, Michael Jackson can't dunk a basketball, but he sure can sing and dance. Michael Jordan can't sing a dance, but he can sure hit you with 63 on night. So you got to do what God has called you to do in your purpose and not compare yourself with other people, because God anointed you to do what you do and stop worrying about what other people do, even if y'all got the same initials, because MJ ain't the same. He'll empower you, man. Third and final point, I got to go. A life of purpose comes from God promoting you. God will have your name mentioned in rooms before you ever even enter them. Can I say it again? He will have your name talked about in rooms before you even enter them. 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 18. Again, Saul is struggling with this spirit. One of his men says, we need to get somebody to help you. And then verse 18, then one of the servants answered and said, look, I have seen a son of Jesse, the Bethlehemite, who is skillful in playing, a mighty man of valor, a man of war, and for Jewish people, they would call boys 13 and over men because that's when a boy in the Jewish culture became a man at his 12th birthday. And so even though he's a boy, they're calling him a man. And they say he's prudent in speech and a handsome person, and the Lord is with him. So they're up in the palace talking about David specifically. And David, again, is just minding his own business, but his name is being talked about in high places. Verse 19, therefore Saul sent messengers to Jesse and said, send me your son David, who is with the sheep. So God is promoting David. Samuel anoints him. Then God begins to promote him. God will be the one to lift you up. You don't have to try to lift yourself up, drop your own name around people. Man, that's shameful when folk do that kind of stuff. And then start name dropping other folk name. Man, come on, let God drop your name. He will drop your name. Proverbs 18, 16, a man or a woman's gifts make room for him and brings him before great men. Your gift will make room for you. That boy out there playing skillfully as a teenager. And they say he's not only a good player, but he's brave, he's good looking. Man, let's go get him. Be faithful over a few things and watch God make you ruler over many. But we want to be ruler over many and we're not faithful over a little bit. Psalm 75, 6 and 7, for exaltation comes neither from the east nor from the west nor from the south. Where does it come from? But God is the judge. He puts down one and exalts another. 1 Peter 5, 6, therefore, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God that he may exalt you in due time. And that's our problem. Due time don't match up with my time because due time is God's time. We want to be promoted yesterday. But hold on now, hold on. David was anointed to be king as a teenager. But he didn't become king until he turned 30 years old. So there's a space, and let's just say 15 years, from age 15 to age 30, that I'm anointed at 15, but I don't actually become king till I'm 30. So what's going on in them 15 years? Folks, it's called preparation. He's going through before he gets to. God says, I got to prepare him for this position. I got to strengthen him. And the way I'm going to do it is through heartbreak, heartache. Saul is going to turn from him. He's going to be living out all in the desert. He's going to be writing songs in the desert. God is like, I got to let your parents because they broke your heart. And you talk about when my mother and my father forsake me, then you learn that the Lord will take you up. You got to go through some things before you get to that seat. A lot of us want to get to the seat, but we don't want to go through no heat and no fire. We want to be promoted, but we're like an egg you take out the water too soon. It's still raw on the inside. It ain't strong on the inside. And no hot water is there to make the egg a boiled egg. Don't take it out too soon, no. And God said, I got to leave him in for about 15 years because timing is everything. And before I became a pastor, people look at it like, you've been pastoring your whole life. No, before that, man, yeah, I was a short order cook at Hardee's. Had to learn some things, how to listen to people and deal with people getting on your nerves and hurry up, make them biscuits, hurry up, make them eggs. God uses all that stuff. And then I was a little rapper in high school and then I became a gospel rapper. Then I became a preacher. And what a lot of people don't know is that I was also a dude that cleaned toilets at Thomas Road Baptist Church. I was a custodian. I would walk the halls. I would buff the floors in the schools and all that kind of stuff because I was trying to save money to get an engagement ring for this girl on the front row. And I was willing to do whatever I could do because I was a traveling evangelist, but ain't no money rapping back in the late 80s and early 90s. And so I'm going around people paying me with sodas and with sandwiches. I'm like, I can't feed myself, my family that I'm trying to build off of that. And so I had to start working as a janitor. God uses all those experiences because I know right now how to clean in my house, how to clean in this church. And then I worked in a grocery store and I knew how to, when the fruit gets bad, you turn it over and then you put cellophane over it and then sell it, mark it down. I know all of that stuff. Preparation, preparation, preparation. And then when I come to Nashville, God says no recording contract. And then I start working in a metal shop. I would come home every day looking like the Tin Man in Wizard of Oz, just covered with metal shavings all over me, coming home tired, telling God, I didn't go to school for this. I didn't come to Nashville for this. And you got me up, because sometimes you got to do what you got to do until you get to do what you want to do. I got to pay some bills. And then I start working at Christ Community Church as an intern. And then I'm walking in the neighborhood and God starts doing something in my heart I never knew he would do. I don't want to be a pastor, but then all of a sudden this burden I can't shake. I'm seeing young men and young women, they need a pastor, they need a church home. And I'm like, oh God. And then God says, yeah, I see your brothers and sisters out there, but I got these white folk over here too that need a pastor like you. And so open up your eyes and see what I'm doing. And so I started doing what God was into. Rather than asking God to bless my plans, I started following in his plan. And I'm here today and I'm writing a how-to book. No, I'm not. But he prepares you, man, before he promotes you. So the two main questions of life: who am I? Why am I here? Both questions find their answers in the Lord Jesus Christ. Who are you? You're made in the image of God, and he loves you. Who are you? You are someone that Jesus died for, that he may bring you eternal life. Why are you here? To bring him glory and to edify other people. And in the midst of that, you will find your specific purpose that satisfies you. So as you stand on your feet, I have to ask you, what is your prayer today? Are you asking for God to reveal your purpose? Or are you asking for God to renew your purpose? Have you become discontent in what you were once content in? Or it got hard and you quit? And God didn't say move on yet and you quit? Oh, there may be somebody here who's like, yeah, Lord, reveal your purpose to me. And it begins with you becoming a follower of Jesus Christ. Not a follower of religion, not a follower of man, but a follower of the Son of the living God. And today can be the day of salvation for you. And you can be born all over again today. And you can be in Christ and become a new creation, and the old is past and everything is about to start new in your life. Let's pray together. And for those who are wrestling with purpose, we're going to come back next week and talk about the purpose of Jesus. Some of you are at an impasse, struggling. Go back to the manufacturer. Don't try to fix it on your own. Go back to him and say, Lord, here I am, speak. Here I am, Lord, I yield myself. Here I am, Lord, show me what you have for me. And until you show me what to do, I'm content to just be with you. Let's take a moment to pray. Beautiful thing about your grace is that when you called David and said he was a man after my own heart, you sought out someone to be the commander of your people, you knew all about his perfections before you called him. imperfections. You knew he would number the people. You knew he would commit adultery. You knew he would commit murder. And yet your grace still said, he's mine. And I'm going to use him to teach modern day transgressors your ways. And to remind us, oh God, that when we fall and when we fail, the gifts and callings of God are irrevocable. There's a plan you have for us. There's a book you've written on each one of us. Oh God, I pray that we would be in step with the anointing, be in step with the Holy Spirit, and not waste precious time fooling around and running away and doing our own thing. Lord, help us to lock in with you. Father, for my brothers and sisters who are here, regardless of age, would you reveal to them what your purpose is for their lives? The way you've gifted them and wired them, and their experiences, good and bad, where you've placed them, all of that is part of your process and your plan. And for those of us, Lord, who know our purpose, but we've gotten tired, we've gotten weary in well-doing, we've looked around at everybody else, and we become discontent, forgive us. Renew a steadfast spirit within us. Renew us in our purpose, and don't let anybody, current events, take us off of our purpose. Lord, we love you so much. Thank you that you not only care about our souls, but you have a plan for our lives. And we're able to experience your joy as we walk in obedience to you. You're a good God. Now unto this God who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ever ask or think, and it's according to the power, the anointing that is working within us, to him be glory, majesty, dominion, and power, both now and forevermore. And all of God's people with purpose said, amen. Come on, let's give the Lord a hand praise. He's worthy. Hallelujah. Amen. Well, hug three people before you leave and have a blessed day. Prayed for the Titans last week and they had a miracle game. Lord, bless the Titans again.